charismatic, passionate, has integrity, humble, servant, inspiring, faithful, persevering, positive, flexible, driven.
This is not about theory. This is about application. This is what you're trying to be. This is who we are that call ourselves leaders.
I'm Dave Ramsey, and you're listening to the Entree Leadership Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Hogan. This podcast marks the last week of the Leaders Are Readers Month, and we've been spending time with my friend Daniel Tardy. Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing great. This has been a great series. I've enjoyed going through these books with you, and we've got a lot of good feedback about this series. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been. And as we're talking about these books, these are required reading here if you're going to be a member on Dave's team.
Yep. We're kind of crazy like that. We expect people to grow personally and become capable of more in what they know and what they're learning. And so we have mandatory reading when you join Dave's team. And you go, mandatory reading? How do you do that? We make it mandatory. If you want to work here, you read these books. And if you want to excel here, you definitely read these books. And that's adding value to our team so that they're capable of more. And so we have a common language.
Well, and we want to stretch people. Mm-hmm. We want people to understand our culture, how we're wired, so it's not a shock to you. Because I'm going to tell you, this place is different.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, we approach things differently, and we've got this expectation that, hey, we're here to get stuff done.
Well, here's what's funny about that. Because we hear business leaders say, you guys are amazing. Your results are different. You're achieving more. You're capable of all these crazy things that you guys have done. You've taken this from a card table in the living room with, you know, Dave and just by himself to now 400 team members and a big national brand. How have you achieved these remarkable results?
Mm.
And we do remarkable things. We talk about, well, we have mandatory reading and we have this hiring process and we have this no gossip policy. And the same people who want the remarkable results go, I'm not sure I can do that. That's a little weird. That's a little hokey. That's a little different. And if you want to have different results, you have to do different things.
That's exactly right.
So that's what we do with reading.
And so it helps stretch. Now, to recap, we have talked about QBQ. We have done Who Moved My Cheese? And then most recently, The Go-Getter.
Yes.
And today, we're going to talk about this book that is called The Go-Giver by Bob Berg and John David Mann. Now, in this book, they really stretch and focus on this area of giving. And how when you focus on that, it changes things for people.
All right, let's put on the brakes because I think we may have lost like half our audience right there when we said we're going to focus on giving. Because we have something in it for us still, right? I mean,
Absolutely.
There's an opportunity here to grow your business by giving. Is that the point?
That is the point.
Okay.
Now, hold on. Before we go there, because I was talking to Don at the start of this, and we were talking about business books mm-hmm. in themselves. And some people can get frustrated because they think, okay, I gave you the three things you need to do here and the seven steps you need to take here. And people read that and they go, okay, now what? Mm-hmm. Like, am I fixed?
Yeah.
You're not. It's going to be that, and it's our momentum theorem.
Yeah, I mean, momentum is one of those things that it takes place over time. It's focused intensity over time is what we teach when we're teaching entree leadership. And I think of it like getting results with if you have physical fitness goals. You go to the gym, you do your reps for that day, and you got to come back tomorrow and do more reps. And then
That's right.
Got to do more reps, and you add more weight. And so over time, you're continuing to exercise those muscles. And if you aren't exercising those muscles, then you're not growing. And so reading a book and saying, am I fixed? It would be like going to the gym one day and going, all right, I'm healthy, I'm good.
Right.
I don't have to be back for a year. That's crazy, right?
That's a very good point. So as you read the books, remember, it's giving you information, but you have to do the application
mm-hmm. yep.
as an individual.
Now, so talk about giving, because I feel like this is a little bit anti-Western, a little bit counterintuitive. I mean, we don't think about our business being a vehicle to give necessarily. I mean, most of us get into business because we want to make a living. We want to create income. We want to make money. We've got big goals that we want to achieve, and the business is a vehicle to help us get where we want to go. So what's up with giving?
Well, to me, I think the biggest thing that we learned is that what do you do? When you serve enough people, there are some things you don't have to worry about. And so that is whether you're giving attention, whether you're giving focus, whether you're giving high quality service. That is the aspect, as you think about it, is truly what business is all about. And if you do that well enough, long enough, to enough people, you're going to begin to make a difference. But it's not focusing on what you get. You're focusing on what I'm giving to people and the way that I serve them.
So how do you do that where you're not, Because I think the fear is maybe, well, I'm just going to be giving and adding value to everybody else's life. And what if I can't figure out a way to monetize that? You know, right. what if that doesn't have a strategy tied to it to turn that into commerce?
Well, I think one of the points of the book that it points out that I was like, wow, that is so true, that it's impossible to give without getting. And they talk about how it's impossible for us just from a breathing aspect. That's the example they use in the book, that it's impossible to exhale without inhaling. Mm. And I thought about that and I go, yeah, it's impossible. You just can't walk around exhaling. It just won't work. And you can't walk around just inhaling. Try it. We'll try it at the break here and we'll see what happens to you, Daniel. But it doesn't work. And so when you look at that, the other side of it is that I am taking the focus off of me and putting it elsewhere.
That's so hard, though.
Oh, it is. We're wired to be self-absorbed.
Yeah. Oh, we've got our goals, our desires, our wishes. How do you walk that out day in and day out? Because you can hear this podcast and you can hear somebody talking about the value of giving and being generous, but our fear instinct kicks in and says, if we don't take care of ourselves first, if we don't watch our back and make sure that we've got everything kind of pointed the direction that is going to help us get to where we want to go, we might lose, we might fail, we might get screwed, we might be taken advantage of. So how do we get comfortable with this idea of being generous?
Well, Daniel, I think let's pause for a second and walk through the story because I think it's going to address your question.
Okay.
Because as we look at this, we've got a guy named Joe. Young gentleman, he is a person that is starved for success and focused, and he intersects with a mentor. And he walks him through the 5 laws of stratospheric success. And I think in this gentleman, Joe, the character in the book, begins to learn about giving. And I think that'll answer the question. The first one in the 5 laws of stratospheric success was the law of value.
Okay.
Really looking at it and talking about your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. Now, whoa.
So it's okay to take payment.
Absolutely.
We're just trying to make sure there's a gap between what we're charging and the value that's given to somebody that gives us that money.
Well, and I've heard Dave use the phrase for many years, there's a such thing as a fair nickel and an unfair dime.
Hmm.
And so the value side of things, I think it is, are we giving them that? And I think of Entree Leadership from an experience when people come to a one-day event or they come to the EPS, the Performance Series or the Master Series event, the one thing I always hear from people is that they got so much for what they spent to come. And so the value side of that is there. And so as a business person, Daniel, how do you apply the law of value and how you're serving people?
Well, I mean, for us, when we're talking about Entree Leadership, I think we're regularly asking, how do we over-deliver on expectations?
Hmm.
If we pitch something and we present something on a landing page or whether it's on a sales call or whatever that might be, it's very tempting because, you know, you're trying to get somebody to pull the trigger, you know,
right.
If you're in sales, it's tempting to oversell it. It's tempting to overpromise and then go back and figure out how you're going to deliver and stretch and get everybody to scramble and scurry to pull off the bid, right? And so as a habit within our team, we are constantly trying to work to really manage expectations with our clients so that we have room to come in and overdeliver. And it's not a fake you out kind of thing. But we want to make sure that people lock in and they go, okay, I feel like what you guys are asking me to give you is worth it. And then as they experience the product or the service, they go, wow, I'm getting more than I asked for.
Hmm.
And it's that wow experience that creates what Ken Blanchard calls raving fans. And so wow is only created when there's a gap between the expectations and what you actually deliver on to your customers.
Well, and also in the book, they talk about having personal walking ambassadors, you know, for you as an individual, because these are people that have a vested interest in you being successful. And I think the more you give people that wow factor, the better off you're going to be as a leader. And this can be not just for customers, but also for your team members.
Now, break that down a second, because I think a lot of business leaders are naturally probably often salespeople. A lot of times we get into business because we're good at sales and we're good with people. And good salespeople typically, just out of sheer force of personality and marketing objectives, they can cause the needle to move financially. They can just turn up the volume,
right,
and cause the results to flow in. And so a lot of times our mentality is oriented around sales and marketing and the next campaign and the next push and the next product launch. But what you're talking about is having people in the marketplace who are your sales ambassadors for you, who are representing your brand. And I think that's challenging for business leaders because sometimes we feel disconnected from that. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily control that directly. That's a person out there that's representing us that doesn't technically work for us. What we can control is the next big launch, the next big hit. And so how do we get comfortable with and get our minds living in that world where we go, hey, we need to recruit ambassadors that are volunteer advocates for our organization out in the marketplace? Because that can feel like it's a little bit beyond our control.
Right.
How do you close that gap?
I think in my mind, the first thing that pops in my head is you have to get away from being transactional and focus on being relational. Mm-hmm. If you understand that the deeper I can build this relationship when I'm on the phone with the individual, then the more natural it's going to be that I'm understanding what they need and why they need it. And then I'm able to show them what product or service we have that can meet and exceed that need. And I think that is, you know, that whole area, especially for salespeople, brings us to the area of the law of compensation, which is number two. Your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. Mm. And again, because I think you think about that and you think, Daniel, there's a difference between serving someone once as opposed to having the opportunity to serve them four or five times.
This is such a funny thing when we hear people talking about businesses being greedy and business owners, capitalism is wrong and evil and taking advantage of people. That headline is pervasive in our culture these days. And it's really sad because the truth is what you're talking about right here is that businesses only win to the degree that they can serve and add value to customers in the marketplace, either through their product or through the service they provide. Is that right?
I mean, absolutely. And if a business isn't serving people, it doesn't stay open. At all. Mm. And people aren't going to continue to go back to where they're mistreated, you know? And that was one of the things I saw in my former life in the banking industry. Everyone was focused on getting the one deal. They weren't focused on, hey, having the opportunity to continue to serve not only that individual, but also their family members and their friends. And so I earned and learned the value of relationships very early on. So serving people is huge. And as Entree Leader, we talk about that all the time. You have to be a servant leader, not that dictatorial type of leader.
So it sounds like the ability to get customers for life is completely tied to your ability to provide high levels of service.
Absolutely, it is.
So talk about the next law, the law of influence.
Law of influence, that's talking about your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. Now, Daniel, this is countercultural here.
But okay. I'm a leader. I go first. What's the deal here? This feels counterintuitive for sure.
But I tell you what, I think when you talk about having influence, what is that? That's the ability to be able to impact people. They trust you, I think, is at the heart of influence. And I think that's the core of Entree Leadership. We talk about serving. And so as a servant leader, I'm wanting to make sure that I'm putting the needs of my team ahead of my own. And so now you're able to lift them and understand that everything your team is doing, you need to equip them as a leader. And I think we look at that and it is influence. Mm-hmm. Now, there are two types, Daniel. There's positional influence and then there's, what's the other one?
Persuasive, right?
Persuasive. Yeah. That's exactly right. What is the difference between the two?
Well, positional, I guess, is because I said so. I'm the boss. I sign your check. Do it or you'll get fired.
That's right.
Or you'll get reprimanded. Or right. It's fear-based, right, when it's positional. Persuasional is missional-based. It's, hey, we've got a common goal. There's something that we need to do to help each other, work in our strengths. And I happen to be the leader, but I'm not above getting down in the weeds and figuring out what I need to do to serve or load the boxes in the truck or whatever that might be because we're a team. And persuasional influence, I think, is a team mindset, whereas positional is fear-based.
Hmm. Now, if I'm constantly, and I want you to coach me here, if I'm constantly putting other people's needs ahead of my own, am I getting slighted at some point?
Well, I don't think, Dave talks about this all the time, being a servant doesn't mean subservient. It doesn't mean you're a doormat. And you're going to have stronger people on your team who left to their own volition could take advantage of you. So that's not what we're saying. We're not saying let those people just run the show and be a bull in a china shop and create an environment that's toxic. But you can be nice, you can be kind, you can be diplomatic, and still be strong. Mm. And those things are not, those things don't compete. You can have all of those in the same person. You know, this influence idea, I think of John Maxwell talks about that leadership really is influence. That's really what it's about, being able to influence people. As a leader, one thing I notice on my team is sometimes putting other people first is helping other people on our team learn how to prioritize how much their thing is going to be the thing that leads the game all the time.
Right.
You know, sometimes there's somebody on our team who needs to get a little bit more spotlight or who needs to get a little bit more attention or needs to be lifted up a little bit. And so as a leader, some of kind of managing the flock a little bit is going, hey, let's calm down over here, guys. You're doing a great job, but let's let Susie speak up because she's got a good idea too. And trying to draw out the ideas from the people that maybe aren't as loud spoken. So as a leader, you have a gift of kind of having the microphone, right?
Right.
And so you get to help, especially in a meeting environment, you get to help influence the chemistry in that room. Because if all those people were in the room by themselves and there wasn't a leader in there, you're going to walk out of there with maybe just a couple ideas that aren't even the best ideas because the group is not playing together as a team. So that's another way of influencing that environment.
Well, listen, I agree with you 100%. And in dealing with the law of influence, there was a part in the book that really hit me hard. And it was talking about that we as individuals have to stop keeping score. Now, hold on now. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, stop keeping score. Well, in business, score is how well we're doing.
Yeah. Drucker says, measure everything, score everything. Let's put scorecards up, dashboard. So but what's the deal here? This is...
Well, and I think what they were talking about is, yes, as a business, you do have to know what does winning look like. And in order to know what winning is, you've got to measure. But on the individual side, in the relationship side, if we start keeping score too much, what happens is we can become bitter. Like, say, for example, you've got a business, you're a plumbing company, and I send you a lot of referrals. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm keeping score, I realize I've sent Daniel like 10 people, and he's not sent me any. Mm-hmm. I'm an electrician.
So keeping score is like entitlement.
It can be.
Or, hey, this guy owes me. There's a debt here, right?
And that's what makes a person a creditor. Mm. And now if I feel like you're indebted to me, I'm going to begrudge some things toward you.
You're thinking about charging interest in your mind.
I think he's not done his part. Uh-huh. You're not holding up your side. I've sent you 10 people and you've not sent me any. And that spirit is what makes people bitter, in my opinion.
Well, do you really think you can just do that with everybody and not get taken advantage of? I mean, people find out, hey, this guy's just giving out favors all the time and he doesn't expect anything in return. Score, man. This is great. You know, let's find more guys like this and we don't have to work. This guy does all our work for us.
I think in that you have to have awareness of your personality type. You have to realize if you're a person that is okay with that, then there's, because every relationship you're in is not necessarily a healthy one or everyone that's around you. So I think you have to be aware of that. Is this somebody that's taking advantage of me, or they are generally trying to help me be successful as well? And I think if you're giving, you're not focused on keeping that score. What you're trying to do is, I'm going to focus on the things that I can control within me. And so you look at this, and I think the only way you can do that without keeping score goes to the next law. And that's the law of authenticity. The most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. And I sent out a tweet a while back, and I was talking about it is so much easier to stay in character when you stay authentically yourself. You know, when you begin to play like you're something that you're not, now you have to remember these roles. And so it is easier. It is easier to wake up and know this is how I'm going to be today because this is who I am.
Yeah. Well, this is an area, it's a key thing that I've figured out. And unfortunately, I've been able to, not on my own, but people have kind of mentored me and said, hey, you really need to figure out how to be authentic. Because as a young leader, you're referencing off of the books that you've read and the other leaders that you look up to and respect. And so you don't have a lot of experience on your own. So you're kind of trying to emulate and take pieces of what you've heard other leaders say and say those things and kind of walk how they walk and talk how they talk. But you're going, hey, that's a good leader. I'm going to try to be like them.
Right.
And that can be done to a fault, right? You can get to a point where you're just trying to be like everybody else and you're not comfortable just being yourself. And so I think it's really an art to figure out how to take best practices from other leaders and take inspiration and reference your influence off of other great leaders, but not to try to be them.
That's exactly
right.
That's
a challenge. How do you do that? How do you get comfortable just kind of living in your own skin?
Well, I think you've got to look at what are the things people are doing that are being successful. I don't think it's wrong to mimic or copy or emulate, as you say, the things that are being successful, because those are principles. I think when you try to do it like someone else is doing it, it's going to come off weird. Mm-hmm. It's going to smell funny and look weird. So you've got to be comfortable in your own skin.
The thing that's been so powerful to me about this, as I've become comfortable in my own skin and kind of learned this whole idea of authenticity, no one can really argue with your story.
That's exactly right.
It's yours.
That's right.
Right? Like, you can own that completely. As soon as you kind of step out and try to have expertise or authority in a space where you really don't have it, you're on shaky ground, and people see through that, don't they?
Yes, they do. And we've all seen it in different arenas where you go, I'm not sure. I don't know how I feel. You know, you feel kind of,
just kind of hokey.
Yeah, it does. And it comes off that way. And so what I would encourage people to do is to say, who are you? You know, who? And it's okay to pick some best practices from different people that you say, you know, I like that. And I think even as we strive to get better as ourselves, we do have to stay true to ourselves. And as a leader, I think it's very important as well, because people want to know who's the real you. And it's, I'm going to tell you, if you're not as a leader, Daniel, you run the risk of losing trust from your team, right?
What do you think about, I mean, I agree, but I think there's also a lot of leaders, and I know I've experienced this from time to time, where I feel like the real me isn't good enough. Hmm. The real me isn't respected by the team. I've got to kind of put it on. I got to, you know, pump myself up and be a little bit more energetic than maybe I actually feel, because I'm not sure that who I am is enough.
Right. Well, I think, and we all go through times where we've got stuff going on, and I don't think there's anything wrong with from getting yourself a little bit more pumped up or hyped up or being a little bit more energetic is a negative thing. I think when you pretend to care about your team or you're trying to follow a principle that you don't believe in, that's where you run the risk of damaging trust. And that's where people will feel that you're not being authentic at all. You're being fake. And as a leader, that's dangerous, because now people don't know if they can trust you.
That's good. I think this last law, the law of receptivity, is probably the hardest for most leaders that I've interacted with. And I know it is for myself, because one thing that we have in common is we like to be able to point to something and say, I did that myself. I provided for myself. I took care of my family. I went out and I carved out an opportunity in the marketplace out of something that didn't exist, and I built it up, and I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. And so the idea of somebody giving us something, it's nice, right? Like, we go, hey, they gave me something. I appreciate the thing, but it kind of threatens this this persona or this image that we're trying to keep up of being a self-made person. And so being able to receive that piece of this in the book for me was one of those kind of like, wow, I can't believe you put this in here, because most leaders really do not want to do this.
Yeah. I think if people really think about where they've come from, where they are, and how they've gotten to where they are, if you sat down and really think about it and track it and broke out a timeline, it would be hard for anybody to tell me that they started and they did it all themselves. Like, everyone was the recipient of somebody's something, whether it was their time, whether it was their guidance, whether it was their words of encouragement. We've received something along the way. And I think it's important for people to acknowledge that, because you're right. In America, we want to be thought of as self-made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm my own man.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it and you realize, no, I'm the product of a lot of people giving me some things.
Do you remember there's a devotion we had here at Lampo, and Max Lucado came in? Do you
yes.
remember him?
Yes, I do.
He said he's a great speaker, and all of his books are fantastic, but he said this thing that just really connected with me. He said, so many of us are celebrating when we score the winning run, and the reality is we were born on third base, and there's people that weren't even born in the dugout. You know, I mean, the opportunities that we're given, we celebrate stepping on home plate going, all right, you know, I scored. And the truth is, like, someone puts you on third base. You know, we joke around here about when you see a turtle on a fence post. You know, it's a kind of a country southern type of saying. For those of you that are going, what is he talking about? Turtle on a fence post. But if you see a turtle on a fence post, you know that thing didn't get there by himself. Somebody put him up there. And so we also talk about we're standing on the shoulders of giants, those that have gone before us, in our country, in our heritage, the people have mentored us, whether it's a coach or a parent or You know, even a painful experience that you had was an experience that life gave you or that God gave you that taught you something that created a strength that you didn't have otherwise.
That's right.
And so really, it's really not about us, is it?
No, it's not. And the more you think about how many people have sacrificed or encouraged you to get to where you are, and you can go back to look at grandparents and parents and friends. Once you look at that, now in your spirit, what you have to do is be grateful. And the natural result of being grateful is realizing people didn't have to do that. They chose to do that because they took an interest in you. And so when you do that, now you think, okay, well, yeah, I can't stand here and be selfish. I need to make sure I'm helping some people along the way as well. And so you start to yourself give the time, the energy, the words of encouragement to other people to help them be successful.
The authors talk about keep receiving also. Be willing to continue receiving from other people, because part of that is learning. You're receiving mentorship, you're receiving guidance, right?
But if you as a leader close off receiving from others, to me, the danger of that is your pride, because you think you don't need other people anymore, which if you shut off receiving, you're also going to close off the giving. And I think it's that symbiotic relationship. Mm. You know, all the way through, that keeps us aware, and it's dangerous. So yeah, you're right. You do have to receive. You have to keep that spirit about you.
Well, I firmly believe this is why we love small business and why we love capitalism and we love businesses who are winning in the marketplace, because I think it is the best picture when done right. It is the best picture of people taking care of each other, and the government taking money in the form of taxes and trying to manage all of that. They don't have this mindset of adding value and receiving and giving and growing and becoming more. Only a business can do that. Only a free market can do that, because you can see an opportunity and you can go in there and figure out how to serve and add value and improve the quality of somebody's life. And as a result, you create economy, money flows in. With that money, you're able to not only take care of your family, but provide more jobs. And like you talked about, that symbiotic relationship, and that's what a business has with the marketplace. The business gives to the market gives back. The business grows a little bit and is able to give a little bit more to the market gives a little bit more back, and everybody in the equation benefits when it's done the right way.
When it's done the right way. And I was just going to say, you've got the business doing that for customers. Now, if you have your leader doing that for the team, now you think about it and you say, okay, well, yeah, I've got to have that same kind of relationship. And then if as individuals we do that in the home, now what you're having is you're having a series of people winning because they have perspective. They've got it placed in the right area so they can give attention to the things that need it. And so I encourage people to read this book, really dive in on it, because I think it helps to truly begin to understand, I need these principles in myself. I need to make sure that I'm exhibiting the 5 laws of stratospheric success, the law of value, the law of compensation, the law of influence, the law of authenticity, and then finally, the law of receptivity. And so as you look at this and you start to think in yourself as a leader, as you're building yourself, one of the things we always talk about is just build intentionally. Look at the principles in these books, and you're going to give yourself an incredible opportunity to continue to grow and have the right mindset as you grow. Because now success won't catch you off guard. You're intending to be successful because you're living out these principles.
Well, let me encourage all of our listeners with this, because we know a lot of people who listen to this podcast are leading really well. And they're doing fantastic things, and they have great teams, and many of them have learned a lot of these principles already. Otherwise, they wouldn't be where they are. Here's the risk. You hear this podcast, or you hear about the opportunity to read this book, and you go, I kind of got that. I mean, I've learned that lesson. Don't miss the opportunity to teach people on your team who maybe have never had that father or that coach or that mother or that mentor, somebody that has invested in them the way that you've had invest in you, that have allowed you to learn these lessons already. You might be that person for the people on your team. And that's why we take books like The Go-Giver and QBQ and Who Moved My Cheese, and we make a mandatory reading, because it's not only good reminders for us as leaders about things that maybe we're already familiar with, but it's a chance to teach our team, and we've got a young team here, people that maybe have never heard these lessons. They may be getting this kind of stuff for the very first time. And so that's one of our responsibilities as a leader, is to give our team opportunities to grow and learn things that maybe they didn't get growing up.
You know what? That is an excellent point. Because literally, as a good leader, as a great leader, you have an incredible opportunity to change the trajectory on people's lives, regardless of where they've come from, the socioeconomic status, or regardless of those things. Intersecting with you, you could be that difference maker in their lives. You could help them to start to dream bigger so they can do better. And so that is an incredible thing. And to me, as a leader, that's where you begin to leave your legacy, because you've got these other people that were able to work beside you and learn some of these principles, as Daniel said, that they maybe have never heard or seen before. Well, listen, we have had a great time this month talking about the various required readings that we have here in this Leaders or Readers Month. We appreciate you all tuning in with us. Daniel, thank you for joining us.
You bet, Chris. Thanks for guiding us through this series. This has been a lot of fun, and I hope that our listeners get a lot out of these ideas. Go read the books. Buy the books. Of course, Dave does love these books, and on the Go Giver and the Go Getter, there are editions where Dave actually wrote the foreword on those books,
right?
Because he's that much of a fan of those. So go check them out. And remember, this month on All Access, that's EntreeLeadership.com is where you can get all access to everything we have in Entree Leadership, our entire master series video library, the community of other Entree leaders who are interacting around these Entree Leadership principles, a chance to get plugged into a mastermind group. It's basically online coaching. You can email our coaching team. You get regular weekly webinars, interactive webinars with our coaching team to get your questions answered and really help tailor all the Entree Leadership principles to your business. So you can check that out at EntreeLeadership.com and click on All Access. So in the month of March, we give anybody that registers $30 off for the first year of their membership, in addition to all four of the books that we've talked about on the podcast this month. So you'll get QBQ, you'll get Who Moved My Cheese, you'll get The Go-Getter, and you'll get The Go-Giver. So once you register and use the coupon code, that'll let us know that you're participating as a part of listening to the podcast, and we'll send those books to you as our gift.
Fantastic. Well, Daniel, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having
me.
We
also want to thank our rock star producer, Don Haney. And listen, stay plugged into this Entree Leadership stuff. Keep learning and keep leading. And until next time, grow yourself, grow your team, and grow your profits.